This is White Sox Weekly, your all-access pass to everything White Sox.
Swing and drive! Deep to left! Gone!
That was as hard as a baseball can be hit by anybody.
White Sox Weekly on the home of the White Sox, ESPN Chicago.
Now, here's your host, Jeff Mellor.
Happy Saturday to you. This is Memorial Day weekend. Hope everybody out there is enjoying the extra three-day weekend here, and hopefully you've got some great plans. And if you don't, why not come out and join us at the ballpark here at Wright Field as the White Sox host the Texas Rangers for two more here before hitting the road for a six-game road trip against the Mets and Orioles. The White Sox will spend their Memorial Day in the Big Apple taking on the New York Mets. But first things first, got a little bit of news out of the gate for all the White Sox fans out there. Jonathan Cannon, who was initially slated to be today's starter, has been scratched with lower back tightness. And so Bryce Wilson will step in as today's starter. Wilson obviously has been in the role of starter over the last few times out until recently, when the White Sox just added Adrian Hauser on Tuesday. And when the White Sox did that, they announced the signing of Adrian Hauser. Hauser then immediately made the start for the White Sox in his very first game in uniform. And it was a brilliant one, and Adrian Hauser is slated to join us here on White Sox Weekly at 1:30 today, so we'll pick his brain. But again, big news out of the get-go, Jonathan Cannon has been scratched with lower back tightness, somewhat disappointing, I'm sure, for White Sox fans, because Cannon has been really good his last four or five times out. But the only encouraging thing I'll say is, you know, lower back tightness, hopefully he'll bounce back and be okay. I'll pick Brooke Fletcher's brain. She is going to join us at 1 o'clock of CHSN, the intrepid reporter. Brooke was in the clubhouse today. She heard from Will Venable, so I'll pick her brain and see what the latest is regarding Jonathan Cannon. But again, he has been scratched, and so Bryce Wilson will step in and be today's starter at the ballpark as the White Sox take on the Rangers. 3:10 first pitch. Your pregame coverage will start at 2:30, but we're basically an extended pregame. Come on, it's White Sox Weekly, so every Saturday, 2 hours prior to the pregame show, we get you set with all the White Sox news that you need to be aware of from the past week and what's going on, and we take a look at the future and all that good stuff. So I'm Jeff Mellor here at Wright Field on the ESPN 1000 Hard Rock Casino White Sox Network. Let's get you caught up with what went down yesterday and some, I'd call it a little bit more major news in regards to the White Sox, and that is because Andrew Benintendi and Mike Tauchman returned from their rehab stints and were ready to join the active roster, that put the White Sox in a bit of a roster crunch. They had to send two players down to make room for Benintendi and Tauchman. And I think if I had told you one of these names, it would not have been a surprise. I think when I tell you in conjunction, both Tim Elko and Andrew Vaughn were sent down to make room for a couple of outfielders in Tauchman and Benintendi, that's what made it a bit of a shock for a lot of White Sox fans. Now, I know a lot of diehard White Sox fans have been disappointed with Andrew Vaughn. He's become somewhat of a punching bag for the fan base, and he's going to have to now go and operate and work at the minor league levels down in Charlotte and get his swing back if he's going to make his return here at the majors. Real quick, before I let you hear from Chris Getz pregame yesterday, I do want to get you caught up, though, with yesterday's big win over the Rangers for the White Sox. It was a fun game if you were out here at the ballpark. Reggaeton night, fireworks, festive evening all about. And it got started when Miguel Vargas, yesterday's first baseman, coincidentally, came to the plate with the bases loaded.
Here it comes. Outside ball four. Just a great plate appearance for Vargas, and he'll get an RBI on a bases loaded walk, and it's 1-0.
And straight back from rehab, Andrew Benintendi came to the plate as well.
The 1-2. Lifted out into center. It's deep, but it's going to be caught by Haggerty. Rojas tags. He will score. Tauchman advances. over to third, and it's 2-0 on a sack fly.
Now we move to Luis Robert Jr. here, and after Benintendi put the sack fly home, what was interesting, Luis Robert Jr. comes up with two outs in that instance, and DJ and Len both talking about it on the broadcast, specifically DJ pointing out sometimes it can drive you crazy, but when you're somewhat lost at the plate like Luis Robert Jr. is, sometimes it's just lucky to be, or I'm sorry, it's just better to be lucky than good.
1-2 with a runner going is floated out into shallow center. It's a base hit. Talkman scores. Vargas to third. Oh, Robert loves that. It's 3-0.
That'll work.
It seemed like a bit of a relief for Luis Robert Jr. He was celebrating the single that drove in the run there to make it 3-0 for the White Sox. I think it was just a relief. He's, you know, he's definitely been lost at times at the plate. He even talked about it earlier this week when I was in the clubhouse about how, you know, he's not sure if it's even a timing thing or if he's just thinking too much. You hate to hear that somewhat because it seems like a guy who he's got all the talent in the world, but confidence is definitely shaken. So I'm hoping that a base hit like that last night, one that wasn't hit hard, but maybe it just helps him relax a little bit at the plate and reminds him that it's not always about being perfect. Sometimes you just need to make contact and things can go your way. Shortly thereafter, with a 3-0 lead, the White Sox found themselves in a situation that I think ended up being really the biggest moment in the game when former hometown hero Jake Berger came to the plate for the Rangers.
A pitch to Berger, and he smokes one out into the alleyway in right center. And it is off the wall. He missed a homer by about 5 feet. Here comes the throw to the plate. One run in. The next guy's out. Young tried to score from first. Lenin Sosa throws him out.
Now, that was a huge play in the game because instead of Berger clearing the wall and tying the game at three, it hits off the wall, missing, as you heard from Len, by about 5 feet from being a home run, a three-run shot. Would have been a three-run shot. Berger goes off the wall, and then the White Sox, some nice defensive play there with the relay throw. Sosa ends up firing at the plate, and they pick up the out. Now, it was reviewed, and the play ended up standing. And I point that out because I think if the play had been called safe on the field, same situation as is standing, as opposed to overturned or confirmed, I think it would have, same thing. It was such a close play, and the angles really didn't make it definitive whether or not the tag was applied or if he had gotten his foot under the tag before it was applied. Either way, the call goes the White Sox way and ends up being a huge moment in the game. Now, another big moment, it maybe doesn't stand out as much in terms of the final score, but Luis Robert Jr. pops one up into right field in the bottom of the sixth inning with the score. They're leading 3-1 at this point, and I will give Luis Robert Jr. all the credit in the world because he was hustling. He found himself making the turn at second base when Edelis Garcia drops the ball in right field, and at that moment, Garcia is able to hustle into third. So it was E9 on Garcia. Robert reaches base, finds himself at third base, and then Joshua Palacios does this.
The 0-2. Swing and a base hit to right. Here comes Robert. It's 4-0. Joshua Palacios with an RBI single. That'll be an unearned run.
And so there you go. And it was actually 4-1 at that point, and the White Sox cruise to a 4-1 victory behind Sean Burke's strong pitching last night.
The stretch and the 0-2 coming. Swing and a miss, strike three on a high fastball. Long hold by Burke, the pitch coming. Called strike three on a curveball. Swing and a miss. Ooh, good slider. Swing and a miss. Oh, man, did he air it out. And he strikes out on a high fastball. He went around on a slider, and Langford is a strikeout victim. Number five for Burke. 2-2 pitch. Got him looking. Just a perfectly located fastball, bottom of the zone toward the outside.
So there you go, little highlight montage from Sean Burke, who struck out six last night. Another good performance from him. The one thing, and I should point out, it was a nice performance by Burke because he really did bear down last night after struggling a bit in the first inning. It has been a bit of a bugaboo for Burke, those early innings, trying to be economical with his pitches. And this is not an indictment on Sean Burke. He's certainly not the first, and he's probably in the majority of starting pitchers when you think about it. Oftentimes, the hardest part for starting pitchers is finding your rhythm in those early innings, surviving them, and then when you get going, oftentimes you will see, innings 3 through 4, 3, 4, 5, 6. A lot of times, the best pitchers in baseball will cruise through, and it's just if you want to get on him, you have to get him in that first inning. Sean Burke was able to battle through a couple of walks in the first inning at an elevated pitch count, and then was able to get through six. So good performance by him to battle through that and end up having a really nice outing, quality start for the White Sox, and picks up his third win on the season and is now 3-5 on the year. Steven Wilson came in, picked up the save, the second of his career. He's been really good since returning this season from the minors for the White Sox. He now has a 1.72 ERA, a .89 whip as well. So Steven Wilson, over 15 2/3 innings so far this season, has been, I would say, one of Will Venable's most trusted arms. And he picked up his first save last night. And I was talking to Darren Jackson about the bullpen usage a couple of nights ago, was wondering if Steven Wilson was going to get a save opportunity a couple of nights ago. It turned out he did not in that moment, but I do wonder if we're starting to see Wilson potentially become the closer. Now, Will Venable is not going to commit to that. You know, Cam Boeser is somebody who can be used in that role. We've seen Jordan Leisure as well. But as effective as Steven Wilson has been, I'm just wondering, are we starting to see him carve out an opportunity as the White Sox closer moving forward? Something to keep an eye on. All right, I mentioned that Chris Getz met the media yesterday and spoke about Andrew Vaughn. I want to play that for you, but we're up against it here, so I'm going to take a quick timeout, and then when we come back, we will let you hear from the White Sox general manager about the decision to option Andrew Vaughn to AAA Charlotte so that they can make room for Benintendi and Talkman. Again, Vaughn goes down along with Elko. So I'll let you hear from the White Sox GM in a moment here. Join us Saturday, June 7th, as the White Sox take on the Royals at 3:10 p.m. Get here early for Sox Crawl, Taste of the Sox, presented by Blue Moon, and enjoy an exclusive pregame crawl inside the stadium with Jack McDowell, autograph signings, food and drinks, sneak peek of new offerings, entertainment, and more. To purchase tickets, visit whitesox.com/soxcrawl. All right, so that's the plan. When we come back, we will let you hear from White Sox general manager Chris Getz. And at 1 o'clock, Brooke Fletcher will join us to let us know the latest on Jonathan Cannon right here on White Sox Weekly on the ESPN 1000 Hard Rock Casino White Sox Network. Welcome back to Great Field. White Sox Weekly here on ESPN 1000 and the Hard Rock Casino White Sox Network. I'm Jeff Meller, hanging out here with you this holiday Saturday ahead of Memorial Day. White Sox and Rangers come your way at 3:10 today. Pre-game coverage will begin at 2:30, but of course, White Sox Weekly, it's essentially a White Sox Palooza day for you every Saturday when we give you 2 hours of additional White Sox coverage and catch you up on everything you may have missed over the week and get you set for everything you need to know about the upcoming week as well. Hey, Sox fans, join us for $5 Tuesdays. All fans will enjoy a specially priced $5 concessions menu, including draft beers from Miller Lite or Modelo, Garrett Popcorn Stadium Buttery, Vienna beef, hot dogs, or Polish sausages, Beggar's Pizza slices, nachos, and select Coca-Cola products. To purchase tickets, visit whitesox.com/Tuesdays. Okay, as we were heading to break, we talked about Andrew Vaughn being optioned to AAA Charlotte yesterday. He clearly has been somebody who has received a lot of ire from White Sox fans because this is the reality of, you know, the heightened expectations. Andrew Vaughn was a third overall pick in the MLB draft, and that was back in 2019, and was basically thought of the consensus top bats in that draft. And unfortunately for Andrew Vaughn and the White Sox, I don't think he's really lived up to the expectations, fair or not, that have come with being the third overall pick. And when you look at the numbers now, He has essentially played in four full seasons, and he's basically played every game of this year, so a third of another. And throughout his career, his 162-game average is 20 homers, 70 RBIs, but with a .248 batting average, a .303 on base, and a .407 slug. That's a .709 OPS. And at first base, that's just not going to get it done. And then when you factor in the fact that some of the defensive metrics don't really favor Andrew Vaughn all that much, if you're not going to be a plus-plus bat, it's going to be hard to continue to maintain your roster spot at a major league level. And right now, Andrew Vaughn's current WAR is minus 1.6. You know, so when you factor in his defensive value and his ability at the plate as a replacement level player, he is subpar. And so that is part of the reason why the White Sox chose to send Andrew Vaughn along with Tim Elko down to AAA Charlotte this yesterday afternoon. I guess they made the decision Thursday night, and yesterday they notified they made the roster move when they activated both Talkman and Benintendi. Chris Getz met the media yesterday afternoon and spoke about why this is the right decision for Andrew Vaughn at this time.
Yeah, it was a good conversation. He understood. You know, he mentioned that he has been grinded, and you know, he's got survival skills, and he was showing that. And you know, he got two knocks. You know, last game, and you always, there were many times this season that you felt like it was coming, that he was going to kind of break out. But he's better than just grinding and you know, just getting a couple hits here and there. He's a guy that, you know, needs to drive the baseball, can drive the baseball. So, you know, I think he's actually looking forward to you know, taking a step back, slowing things down. Obviously, it's a different competition level, different environment. Really get to work and not, you know, make adjustments at a high level like the major leagues is. But this really is a good opportunity for him to reclaim the player that we know he can be.
What can change with him offensively at this point, Chris? I mean, not at this point, it's not that far in his career, but I mean, his numbers have been good, but have kind of stayed the same over the course of his career. What do you see that can be different for him when, you know, going to Charlotte?
Yeah, I think that there are some mechanical adjustments that can be made. You know, the syncing up his lower half and upper half. You know, he was a guy that, you know, early on, you know, although maybe he wasn't getting hits, he was making good decisions at the plate, seeing the ball well, taking his walks. And, you know, some of that is putting your body in a position to make quality decisions. So this game will speed you up for a lot of different reasons because of, you know, the talent of the pitching, just the overall talent of the major league level. So to go down and play against this type of competition in a different environment can really allow you to make those adjustments because you put so much pressure on yourself as a hitter to be productive, and sometimes the harder you try, you know, can be a detriment. So at this point, you know, we felt like it was necessary to go down there, but we still believe in Andrew Vaughn, and you know, he knows he can be a productive major league player, and you know, I imagine he's going to take advantage of this.
The truth is that Andrew Vaughn just needs to be a much more productive hitter. You can always work on the little things. He can become a somewhat better defensive player, but I think at 27 years old, the reality is, or at least in his age 27 season, I think the reality is for Andrew Vaughn that he's probably the best that he's going to be as a first baseman defensively. So he needs to bring more production offensively to the table if you're going to man that spot that has traditionally been a big power spot in your lineup. And unfortunately, Vaughn is going to need to unlock some stuff down at AAA Charlotte if he's going to continue to be, I think, a piece that the White Sox, you know, continue to have on this roster. I think maybe the disappointing thing and what a day like yesterday signals is that the organization, the people in the front office, have, I think, come to grips, too, with the reality that Andrew Vaughn is not a building block for this roster. And, you know, that's just my opinion of, that's my read on the situation. No, you know, no actual inside info there. But I think when you look at this move as a whole, where Andrew Vaughn's at in his career, This is now it's on Andrew Vaughn to make some significant improvements if he's going to be somebody that the White Sox move forward with, you know, in the years to come. I'm not going to write him off. We see, look across in the other dugout, Jake Berger was able to go down to AAA for about 3 weeks, figure out some mechanics in his swing, and he's returned to the Texas Rangers. And since he's returned, he's been excellent. In fact, I'll pull up his stats right now, but Jake Berger, since returning to the Texas Rangers, has been one of their best hitters. And in the month of May, which is basically all the games that he's played since returning, sans one, Berger's 13 for 43 with three home runs, seven RBIs. He has a .302 batting average, a .333 on base, and a .581 slug. That's a .915 OPS in May. So Jake Berger took the opportunity, and if we have time, time willing, I'm actually going to let you hear from Jake Berger. He met with us yesterday on his return here, first time back at Wrigley Field as a member of the opposition, and he spoke with Andrew Vaughn, at least via text, on Thursday night when Vaughn got the news. Vaughn and Berger were actually going to do a charitable event together on Friday morning at GG's Playhouse, a charity that's very near and dear to the heart of Jake Berger. And Berger talked about texting with Andrew Vaughn prior to the event, because obviously Vaughn was headed to Charlotte and so was no longer going to be able to do the event. And Berger was giving Andrew Vaughn words of encouragement. So I'll play that for you later on when we get back during White Sox Weekly. But up next, Brooke Fletcher is going to join me and give me the latest information, all you guys, about what's going on with Jonathan Cannon and plenty of other big picture items regarding the White Sox. Before we take a quick timeout, though, let's pause 10 seconds for a legal ID. All right, so that's the plan. Brooke Fletcher next, and Adrian Hauser will join us at 1:30 right here on White Sox Weekly on the ESPN 1000 Hard Rock Casino White Sox Network. Welcome back to White Sox Weekly here on ESPN 1000. I'm Jeff Meller, hanging out at Wrigley Field. Hey, Sox fans, join us at the ballpark on Sunday, June 8th. Actually, no, I just did that one. Let's do this one. How about this? Looking for the best way to start your game day? Treat your group to a pregame patio party. You'll get 2 hours of an all-you-can-eat buffet, along with unlimited beer, wine, and Coca-Cola products. For more information, visit whitesox.com/party areas or call 312-674-1000. My pleasure to be joined by the CHSN Intrepid reporter, Brooke Fletcher. She's always in the clubhouse, in the locker room, in the dugout. In fact, wait, before we get there, I have to ask you, Brooke, because the big news today is that Jonathan Cannon has been scratched from his start. And if I'm not mistaken, now, I don't really get to hear a lot of your actual reports. Mm-hmm. I get to see them oftentimes, but obviously doing the game with Len and DJ, I don't actually get to hear what you're saying. So if I'm not mistaken, weren't you talking to Jonathan Cannon yesterday in the dugout? And
I was.
Was Davis Martin not throwing stuff at him again?
I was, and we were wearing some helmets because Jonathan was saying that he needs to last all season. He wants to stay healthy. And so I've gotten a few replies on socials today being like, oh, no, we jinxed him. But no, this is something that, you know, it's important to note this has not been lingering. This is nothing that has, you know, come up before. Will said that. It just happened in PFPs yesterday. He felt something, and so they're just kind of wanting to err on the side of caution. No images or anything, just treatment so far. And so they're just hoping to calm it down. And he said he actually felt good today. But, you know, again, they just want to make sure he's good. That's not something that you want to mess with. So I guess the biggest question is when he's going to make his next start. It's TBD, you know, but they do feel confident that he's not going to have to skip any starts. So, but it opens up an opportunity for Bryce Wilson, and we'll see, you know, what he can do today.
And so good. So we can take the blame off of you. You are in no way responsible for Jonathan Cannon
missing
today's start. So
don't at me, people.
Well, you can say it all you want. It doesn't mean they won't. But we can all continue to ignore all those people and all those silly comments. All right. So, Brooke, you mentioned Bryce Wilson. He steps in, and he's been somebody who has pitched as a starter over the last 3-4 weeks now since stepping in for Martin Perez. So he's got the opportunity. We know he's capable of it. Just your thoughts on him coming out today. And I guess I think about it and say, maybe Bryce Wilson can take this opportunity, because I know he's a little bit frustrated being taken out of the rotation, mm-hmm. but the reality was he just wasn't performing the way you need a guy to perform in that spot.
Well, and they've always seen him in that role of just, you know, they love his versatility. And when he didn't make the starting rotation out of spring training, you know, Will always, and the staff has said, hey, just be ready because we might use you in that role. And so he's kind of understood what his role is coming in. But, you know, he's stretched out. He had six starts, you know, 90 pitches. And so Will and his staff expect him to go deep into the game. And obviously there's a mental shift, right, when you're going from the bullpen to the starting rotation, how you're going to attack guys. And so, yeah, it's a last minute, you know, it's that next man up mentality. But he's been here before, and I think, you know, maybe this is that, maybe that's like a reset for him. And maybe, you know, going up against a lineup like this with the Rangers that are, they're looking to get something going, it could be a good opportunity for him.
Brooke Fletcher joining me here on White Sox Weekly. First pitch coming your way at 3:10 today here at Wray Field as the White Sox play game number 2 of 3 against the Rangers here before heading off to New York for a Memorial Day in the Big Apple. All right, Brooke, so the White Sox made some big news yesterday in order to accommodate the return of Andrew Benintendi and Mike Tauchman. They had to obviously option a couple of players. And for me, it wasn't necessarily one or the other that surprised me, but it was the combination of both Tim Elko and Andrew Vaughn, who I know a lot of diehard White Sox fans have thought it kind of made their punching bag. To have both of those players be optioned down, the two primary first basemen, that was the news that was somewhat surprising to me. Mm-hmm. What was your initial reaction when you saw the email come down, and just now having talked to people the last couple of days, what are your thoughts on the decision to, I think Andrew Vaughn's probably the bigger piece.
Yeah, and you know, we were anticipating with Andrew Benintendi and Tauchman coming back, okay, we were questioning who's gonna be moved, right? And so we didn't know, I didn't think it was going to be Tim Elko or Andrew Vaughn, but when you talk to Will Venable and you talk to the guys, like, it does make sense. So let's start with, you know, Andrew Vaughn. This is a guy, you mentioned, a guy that's a veteran. He has been with this team. He has a great presence in that clubhouse. He's a leader. And so, you know, that there's a lot of value to that. But when you see what the product that he has put on the field, he knows, he even called it, I've been grinding, right? Mm-hmm. Like, and there was almost maybe like a sense of relief, just an opportunity for him to go to AAA and just kind of hit that reset button. And, you know, I spoke with Jake Berger yesterday, and he said what that time did for him, and I think he's hitting over 300 since making his return.
Yes.
Like,
yep.
He said, you know, sometimes you just need it, and it's all about your mindset. If you go in with a negative mentality of like, dang man, like this sucks, like I know I'm better than this, you're not going to get anywhere. If you're going in and looking at it as an opportunity to get better, he's like, that's when I think you're really going to get the most out of it. So that was kind of his advice to Andrew. And, you know, they don't expect this to be a long stint for him, but, you know, just an opportunity just to get back to himself and not have to think about all the outside noise. But as far as the presence in the clubhouse, going back to that, we talked to Benintendi yesterday, and, you know, you could tell that it was a sense of like loss, right? Like, and, you know, these are two guys that have played together, and he said he understands that it's a business. But obviously, you know, it sucks. It sucks for the group. But, you know, they're going to keep powering through, and hopefully he's not down there long.
You brought up Jake Berger, and it's interesting because think about that as a resource for Andrew Vaughn. You know, they're in town here. Berger and Vaughn were going to do a charitable event together on Friday. Unfortunately, Andrew, because of the circumstances, was sent to Charlotte. But it's interesting because Jake Berger literally has just gone through this, has literally shown, you know, he's a good resource for Andrew Vaughn, you know, a friend, and he can say, hey, look, you know, to your point, right, it's about mindset. And if he takes the advice that Jake Berger gives him, I think that can be a really good thing for Andrew Vaughn. And what you were mentioning, like, the hard part is to, after a while, trying to fix yourself and get you right at the major league level is, you know, it's a very difficult thing to do. So I think that's a great point, is that going to Charlotte hopefully clears his head a little bit, gives him the opportunity to just kind of figure out what's going wrong and how he can get back to being a more productive player on the field. Brooke Fletcher joining me of CHSN here on ESPN 1000 as we get you set for White Sox and Rangers. You mentioned Benintendi. So what do you think about him returning? He DH'd yesterday. Did you check the lineup? I haven't seen. Is he in the field yet today, or is he back at DH? Let me pull that. I don't want to put you on the spot real quick. But I'm curious to see, because you were talking about, you know, the roster moves that they made and like who was going to go. And that was the surprising thing. They've got six outfielders on their roster right now. So just trying to figure out how who's going to play where and when. That's the interesting thing.
Right. And Will said, you know, it gives them an opportunity for the guys that are coming back from injuries just to make sure that they stay fresh. It protects them. And it also gives them, you know, the advantage when it comes to certain matchups. And so he said, you know, they're going to be using guys like Michael A. Taylor. You know, they're going to you're going to see Slater, obviously, in the mix. They're just trying to use that to their advantage and just keep those guys off the bench fresh, because this is he said this is the healthiest that their lineup has been, you know, all season long.
Yeah. Benintendi is DHing today and hitting cleanup for the White Sox. So in the outfield, they'll go Tauchman back in right field, Luis Robert Jr. in center, and Palacios plays left. Mike Tauchman, I'm surprised. I thought for sure he was going to need a day off just for soreness after the catch he made yesterday. What was Will Venable's reaction to Mike Tauchman making that effort in right field? Like, not once, but twice, actually.
I know. Well, I was like a little nervous. I saw him over in the net last night, and I'm like, oh, okay. You know, back like we never left. I love that. You know, I asked Will after the game. I was like, were you a little nervous like when you saw that? He goes, yeah, not going to lie. I'm like, okay. But he loves that aggressiveness, and he said, man, that's just Tauchman. That's the player he is. He's fearless. He's just a great defender. And, you know, I mean, I would imagine Tauchman talked about how much he missed being out here. He wants to even try to steal a bag last night.
Yes.
Like he was all over the diamond. So I bet he is sore today.
Yeah. I was just curious. I was like, is he going to get the DH role tomorrow just to keep him fresh? But no, he's back out there in right field. So clearly he's feeling good enough and no soreness, which was something he did mention when he met with us yesterday about just making sure that at this age he can manage that soreness, because we all saw how he re-injured his hamstring last time around. So if he's going to push it, you want to make sure that he's back and healthy. Miguel Vargas is somebody who's going to be playing first base quite a bit now that the White Sox don't have any real, you know, traditional first baseman on the roster. Not that Vargas isn't capable. He's certainly more than capable, but he talked to you a little bit about heating up here now that the weather's getting warmer, right?
He's so funny. If you haven't had an opportunity just to pick up on his personality, like, he's a very funny dude. But he came up to me just moments ago and he was like, Brooke, what's with this weather? He goes, I thought we're in summer here. And I go, listen, we're about to turn the corner. I promise it's going to get better. He goes, you know, I play better in when it's hot outside. He goes, take a look at my numbers the last few games. It's been freezing. So he said it's a beautiful day today. He likes this weather. So we'll see if he gets a couple knocks and gets something going here.
All right. So there you go. You heard it from Miguel Vargas first through Brooke Fletcher. He loves the warmer weather, as a lot of players do. So my producer back at the shop, Justin Pottinger, you heard it. If you want to bet Vargas to homer today, I know that's your jam, man. So go ahead and play Vargas for a home run. He's feeling good today. Brooke Fletcher of CHSN joining me here on ESPN 1000 as we get set for White Sox and Rangers today. Again, first pitch coming your way at 3:10. So what about Lenin Sosa? He has been somebody who, you know he can hit. The question is, can he hit enough where if he's not going to draw a lot of walks, is he somebody who you can always count on being out there? What is your thought, and who have you talked to about Lenin Sosa's approach at the plate?
Yeah, well, he's had like 6 hits in the last 4 games, and so you're just starting to see, and he had a great game last night, and, you know, Will just talked about it after the game, saying that his chase rate, he's not chasing as much as he used to, because he used to chase a lot. If you take
yes.
a look at the numbers there, you know, last night there was an opportunity, I think it was like a slider, and he laid off of it, and something that he normally wouldn't lay off. So he's seeing the ball better, but because we know when he makes contact, I mean, he can drive the ball.
Yes.
So, you know, it's nice just to have him in that in the bottom of the lineup too, you know, hitting in that 8 hole. He was able to get things going there in the third. So, you know, Will said he likes him there. And so maybe that's somewhere that we're going to see him more consistently, you know, followed up by who was hitting after him last night? Oh, Rojas. Yep.
Brooke Fletcher joining me here on ESPN 1000 White Sox Weekly, getting you set for White Sox and Rangers. So, Brooke, what do you think about what you've observed of the atmosphere inside the clubhouse now that Will Venable is 50 games or so in? What's been your observation of the vibe in the clubhouse? I know that the wins and losses aren't necessarily where the White Sox want them to be, but, you know, and this is where I have to, like, I don't want to be like Soxaganda, right? I don't want to give you a bunch of Sox propaganda, I personally think that for the most part, it's a positive vibe in the clubhouse. And I think these guys, you know, this year, obviously, they're in a spot where it would take a hellacious comeback to make a playoff run. But I do think things are trending in the right direction under Will Venable.
Yeah, no, and I think, you know, it starts with Will Venable and Chris Getz, you know, that positive mentality. And just, I think you have a mix of veterans that are looking to kind of have a resurgence in their career and, you know, wanting to prove themselves, as well as these young guys that are coming up. And I think it's just the perfect combination. And you just have the right leaders in that clubhouse. And it's a group that wants to play for each other. And they have that grind mentality. You know, I was talking to Paul Janish about it yesterday. Just, I was told him how impressed I've been, especially with the young guys, you know, with, you know, Caro and Chase and even Tim and, you know, coming up. And when you're trying to build a foundation in, you know, the White Sox organization, it's like, these are the type of character guys that you want to have, because it's going to set expectations when you bring guys in on, you know, what the standards are in this clubhouse and on this team.
Okay, so you mentioned talking with Paul Janish. Chase Mydroth, we haven't gotten to him yet, and that's probably on me. He's been excellent. He's got a 10-game hitting streak going. He's been awesome. Any observations or thoughts on Chase?
Well, he's growing a mustache.
okay.
So, you know, I was
as
like,
if he doesn't have enough hair on his head.
You feel good. Yeah, you got to look good, right? So he said he's been working on that, not since the start of the hit streak. He said over the last 5 games, he's been trying to grow that. But, yeah, man, I mean, he's feeling himself. But, you know, Will said, I love that. Go ahead. Feel yourself here, you know? You know, he's just really finding his stride, especially in that leadoff spot. And, you know, as pitchers were making adjustments to him, he was countering back. And he just has that mentality. He's just aggressive and just, he's like, hey, how can I help the guy behind me? How can I get on base to put our team in the best position to win? And I think that's just the mentality that you want in your leadoff guy. But he said he's not paying attention to the 10-game hit streak. He said it's just too long of a season to focus on that, but he feels really good at the plate.
Yeah, well, White Sox fans feel really good about him at the plate, just like everybody in the organization does. He's one of, when you know when he goes to the plate, you feel good about what's going to happen. It may not happen, you know, every time. It's such a hard game, but you always, I think he's quickly earned the confidence of White Sox fans from when he goes to the plate.
Yeah, and you know, he even said, like, last night, just having the presence, like, that was the first thing he said. He goes, having Benintendi and Mike Tauchman back in the mix, he goes, those are two guys that have already been trying to pick their brains, but having them, especially Tauchman, hit behind me, he goes, just being able to communicate, like, you know, last night, going up to him and saying, like, what are you thinking here? And Tauchman was like, no, like, I think he's going to throw this.
Yeah.
And he was right. And he goes, just to have, this is a guy that's been in the league for a while. He's like, just to be able to pick their brains and just to, you know, give me confidence when I go. He goes, I think the entire lineup was just feeding off of their stability and their knowledge and what they were bringing to the table last night.
That great insight is from the voice of Brooke Fletcher. She's great on CHSN, does a great job covering the White Sox. Brooke, thanks for joining us here on White Sox Weekly.
Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. Up next, we will let you hear more from Chris Getz, the White Sox GM, met with the media yesterday, and I'll give you some of that. And also, I do want to talk about Paul Skeens being traded and how ridiculous that idea is. We'll do that right here on White Sox Weekly on ESPN 1000. Welcome back to White Sox Weekly. I'm Jeff Meller. Every Saturday, 2 hours prior to your pregame coverage, we give you White Sox Weekly. Pregame today coming your way at 2:30. We will have first pitch between the White Sox and Rangers here at Raitt Field at 3:10. Len Casper and Darren Jackson on the call, of course. And White Sox will then head off for a 6-game road trip where they will take on the New York Mets on Memorial Day for starting their 3-game series there. And then they'll have 3 on the weekend, next weekend, against the Baltimore Orioles. One thing I did want to talk about regarding Major League Baseball. There have been, we're getting closer. Memorial Day is, you know, here on Monday. That's a lot of times the traditional time when people say, hey, that's when you can actually start looking at the standings and starting to put a little bit of stock in who is where. You know, if a team's off to a hot start, you don't want to get too overexcited about it until you get to Memorial Day. Then you can start looking at it and saying, okay, maybe, just maybe, this team does have a chance. It's still a very long season. You still got over 100 games left. So by no means is Memorial Day the, you know, mark of demarcation, but it's a point when it's always like, okay, where are we at here? We can kind of assess. With the assessment, oftentimes, will come the conversations about teams that may not be performing as well and just exactly who and what they should be considering trading from their roster. We've already seen that take place surrounding the Chicago White Sox, in particular with Luis Robert Jr. Something he addressed earlier this week, he talked about being in a funk himself. He actually joked, hey, I don't even know who would trade for me right now as bad as I'm hitting. But Luis Robert Jr., with his great defense, he's leading the American League in stolen bases. And even with a less than productive numbers at the plate, Luis Robert Jr. is still somebody who I think will be wanted at the trade deadline. The question is if he can really heat up, then will Chris Getz actually hear some of the stuff he would like in return to consider a deal where Luis Robert Jr. would be involved. But that's specifically in regards to the White Sox and where they're at. What I find comical, and I should add, the reason those conversations are worth having and more realistic, grounded in reality, are the fact that Luis Robert Jr. has a couple of team options after this season where the, you know, there's no guarantee that he will be on the White Sox after this year, depending on what they want to do regarding his team options. So there is a reason why Luis Robert Jr., his name keeps coming up in trade conversations. But even though the Pittsburgh Pirates are 18-34, the ridiculous notion that they would consider trading Paul Skenes, last year's rookie of the year, who also, by the way, has 5 years of control left for the Pittsburgh Pirates. The idea that they would even entertain the notion is absurd. I suspect, I saw a couple of these things get started up about a week or so ago. I suspected somebody wrote the article, what could the Pirates get if they decided to trade Paul Skenes? And the truth is, when you have a front-of-the-rotation ace, arguably the best pitcher in baseball, and if he's not the best, he's undeniably in the top three. And full stop. There's, you know, he's in the top three starting pitchers in all of baseball. Tarek Skubal is, you know, the reigning AL Cy Young Award winner and is awesome. So if you want to have a conversation about Skubal maybe being the best in baseball, we can have it. But Skenes is undeniably in the top three, and that it would be the lowest I would put him. So the idea that the Pittsburgh Pirates would entertain trading a guy who they have under their control for the next 5 years, who just won the NL Rookie of the Year, I believe he's currently the favorite, the betting favorite for the NL Cy Young Award winner award this season. I mean, the notion that they would consider trading him is absurd. And to paraphrase what the executive producer of White Sox Baseball, Brennan Riley, said to me when we started talking about this before the show today, is if the Pirates are actually considering trading Paul Skenes, they should just fold up their franchise. And I could not agree more. Paul Skenes, ace of aces. And by the way, Pittsburgh fans come out in droves to watch his starts. He's an added bump for all of the attendance when the Pirates play at home. You know, teams, when the Pirates go on the road, he's actually a draw to go see Paul Skenes pitch. So the idea that the Pittsburgh Pirates would even consider trading this player is absurd. You know, we can have those conversations when a guy is a year or two out from free agency, but the way baseball works these days, with the added emphasis on younger players because of just what we know about velocity in the game today and with hitting and pitching, you just don't want to trade those younger players who can do things at a higher athletic level than some of the older players who, you know, that unfortunately the way baseball has gone, they've been phased a little bit more and more with each passing year. You're not trading Paul Skenes if you're the Pirates. And I was thinking about this in regards to, do you remember how upset the Mavericks fans were when Nico Harrison traded Luka Doncic? This would be the baseball version of that, essentially. But it might be even worse, because if you were trading Paul Skenes, if you were the Pirates, there's just no hope. Like, whatever package you would try and put together. And that's the other thing. I don't know if you're the Dodgers, every team that's in contention right now, the Dodgers, the Mets, the Yankees, every single one of those teams would love to get their hands on Paul Skenes and would covet him even more if you told them, hey, by the way, you're getting Paul Skenes with 5 years of control, and he hasn't even hit the big money free agent contract yet. Every single contender, every single big market team would want him. But the problem is, I don't know where you would even start to put together a package to try and, like, how many prospects would it take? How many top 100 prospects? The Dodgers, I believe they have seven top 100 prospects. I mean, if I'm the Pirates, I'm starting with that ask at, I want all seven of your top 100 prospects. I mean, that might be an absurd ask, but then if you're the Pirates and you think about it, it's not that absurd. So the absurdity of people having to address Paul Skenes trade rumors for the Pirates, that is nuts, and it is not grounded in reality. So I guess it's fun for clickbait, but I also, as a baseball fan, am just offended by the notion that any team would actually consider trading Paul Skenes when you have him under contract for the, or at least under control for the next five seasons. So my two cents on that one. Up next, maybe, just maybe, he could be the next Paul Skenes. That might be getting a little ambitious, but Adrian Hauser made his debut with the White Sox earlier this week, and he was excellent. He picked up the win. He was fantastic. He signed on Tuesday. He started on Tuesday. He was awesome after a long rain delay. He joins us next right here on White Sox Weekly on the ESPN 1000 Hard Rock Casino White Sox Network. White Sox Weekly here on ESPN 1000 and the Hard Rock Casino White Sox Network. Hey, Sox fans, join us at the ballpark on Sunday, June 8th, as the White Sox take on the Kansas City Royals at 1:10 p.m. First 7,500 fans in attendance will receive Southside legend Ray Durham bobblehead presented by United, Chicago's hometown airline. To purchase tickets, visit whitesox.com/promos. News for today, if you missed the start of the show, we talked about it, that Jonathan Cannon, who was initially slated to be the probable, has been scratched due to back soreness, lower back soreness. Now, good news, he just spoke with the media a short time ago. We're actually going to play that for you in the pregame show at 2:30. But Cannon was pretty optimistic about where he's at. He said he expects to make a start. He doesn't think he's going to have to hit the IL by any means. Certainly thinks he can make a start. He could even make a he believes, if asked to, if this was a day or two later, he believes he probably could make the start. It just happens to be he's a little bit sore, and so to be extra cautious, nothing wrong with that, especially the way that Jonathan Cannon has been pitching. You don't want to push it. So glad to hear that he doesn't feel like it's too serious. Again, we'll play Jonathan Cannon for you in the pregame show around 2:30 just to give you the update. But Bryce Wilson steps in as the starter today, something, a role that he's been familiar with in the recent past here. Adrian Hauser, who we're expecting to hear from here shortly, actually took Bryce Wilson's role in the rotation. So Wilson is someone who the White Sox have used earlier this season. So he will be very comfortable today against the Rangers with a 3:10 first pitch. White Sox lineup is in. Shortstop Chase Mydroth, who we talked about quite a bit with Brooke Fletcher around 1 o'clock. Chase Mydroth brings his 10-game hitting streak to the leadoff role yet again, really kind of making that spot his own lately. He's at shortstop. Mike Tauchman back in right field after a couple of plays where he went all out and actually slammed into the hard netting down right field. He's back in right field. I was curious if he was going to be in the lineup. Was a little bit concerned that there could be some soreness. You never know. A guy just returning from the injured list and his rehab assignment. So I was curious if he was going to be back in the lineup. He is back in the lineup tonight. This afternoon, playing at right field. Miguel Vargas mans first base yet again, and Will Venable mentioned the other day, I think that's essentially going to be the plan when they face righties, is for Miguel Vargas to be your first baseman. Josh Rojas, the lefty, is likely then to play third base most times against right-handed pitching. So Miguel Vargas at first base, the reigning player of the week, bats third, and as you heard us as you heard with Brooke Fletcher a moment ago. He likes the weather out there today, so he's feeling good. As I mentioned, I'll give you the rest of the lineup later on in the pregame show, but as I mentioned, the newest member of the White Sox, Adrian Hauser, joined the team this past Tuesday when the announcement was made, and we're fortunate to have him in quite a debut. It was Adrian Hauser. Welcome to White Sox Weekly. Fantastic debut, my man. Congratulations.
Thank you, sir. Thanks for having me today.
My pleasure. So, Adrian, I have to ask you, because the circumstances in which you made your debut for the White Sox here were interesting. So the announcement was made on Tuesday that the White Sox had signed you to a guaranteed contract, and then sure enough, you're on the mound on Tuesday. Now, you didn't just get to go right out, though. You had to actually wait through an extended rain delay. So just take us through Tuesday. How was it for you?
Just a little bit of a whirlwind, but I just tried to stay locked in as much as possible. Knew that the rain was a possibility. Obviously, getting up that morning with some rain already happening, and knowing that they wanted to try to get the game in, so I was wanting to, you know, stay locked in as possible. And as soon as they said let's go, is, you know, I was just grab everything and let's go and head out there and get ready to go. So just rolled with it.
Well, you rolled with it really well, Adrian, picking up a 1-0 victory. It was the first shutout of the season for the White Sox, as you combine with four other relievers. But, I mean, listen, you can't draw it up any better than that. So what was your, you know, in retrospect, what was working for you, and how did you feel about the performance? You give 90 pitches and six shutout innings.
Obviously, like I said, with the whirlwind and just meeting the guys and meeting Cuero day of the game, and, you know, 2 o'clock that afternoon. And so, you know, we're just having to get everything going on the fly. And I felt like we did a good job of just attacking the zone and being in the zone for the most part with all of my pitches. And, you know, we just try to stay ahead and worked ahead and was able to, you know, get some ground balls and have some good defense behind me to help me out.
So you talked about meeting Cuero the first, you know, to that day. Have you ever done that before at the professional level, where you meet your catcher the day of, and then all of a sudden you have to go out and execute?
No, I don't think so. I think I've at least had, you know, some experience or been able to talk to all the catchers at least, you know, previously before I've thrown to them. So I think that was a first for me, and, you know, tip of the cap to him for being able to adjust on the fly with a new pitcher and not knowing, you know, how things work or how I like to throw things. And, you know, I think we did a good job of just talking back and forth and being able to make adjustments as we went.
Adrian Hauser joining me here on White Sox Weekly. Jeff Meller here ahead of White Sox pregame, which starts at 2:30. First pitch coming your way at 3:10. So, Adrian, talk to me a little bit about believing in yourself here. You had the opportunity to opt out. Of course, you were pitching at AAA, but you felt good about yourself. What was, you're a veteran. I know you want to pitch in the majors. So what led you to the decision where you're like comfortable, like, you know what, I'm going to have some options here. I think it's a good opportunity for me.
Yeah, you know, I think it starts all the way going back into the off season with some of the adjustments that I made and some of, you know, the work that I put in with, you know, going to a place called Pitching Works in Edmond in Oklahoma. You know, I think those guys really helped me out, and being able to identify some things and work on that all off season and take it into spring training put me in a good spot, and felt like I was throwing the ball pretty well in spring training and kind of continued that into the season. Had a couple hiccups, but was able to, you know, kind of get the mechanics back to where we had them in the off season, and, you know, was able to simplify some things, and, you know, felt really comfortable with that. Felt like we were in a good spot, and, you know, felt like we were in a spot to where we could test the waters, and fortunate enough to be able to get this opportunity.
Adrian Hauser joining me here on White Sox Weekly. So what appealed to you about the White Sox? Chris Getz mentioned yesterday that you guys had some different options, some different choices. So what appealed to you about coming to the White Sox?
I think it was just the young group of guys here. You know, I have a couple connections with Bryce Wilson, Davis Martin, and Walker McKibben, you know, so knowing those guys and chatting those guys up a little bit and just getting the vibes of everything, I felt like it was a good opportunity here, and felt like there was, you know, going to be able to, you know, go out and pitch and just focus on that and, you know, have a good time and get back to having some fun.
So you know Walker from your days in Milwaukee, I assume, correct?
Yes.
So did he help sell you on the White Sox, or, like, I guess what was, what really pushed you into picking the White Sox? Because, you know, I'll be honest, like, the standings obviously aren't in the White Sox favor right now, but we're glad to have you, especially after that performance on Tuesday.
Yeah, you know, I think it just being able to come up here, like I said, and be able to be comfortable, like good group of guys from what I've heard, and yeah, you know, Walk reached out knowing that I was you know, interested in coming here, and you know, I think that, you know, just having some guys here, you know, with the familiarity helps. Yeah, I think I felt like, you know, there was a little bit more runway here, and like I said, just being able to come here and pitch and kind of just relax and go out and throw and compete and have fun made it a good place to come to.
So you're less than a week in here, and how's it feel? You got you mentioned Davis Martin, you mentioned Bryce Wilson, Len Casper, who does the play-by-play here on radio, made the observation when you were getting ready on Tuesday, when you were coming down, he saw you high five basically everybody in the dugout and, you know, kind of just you know, a way to say hello, if you will. So is that is it a weird situation for you? I know you know a couple of guys, but what's it like, you know, walking into a clubhouse and, you know, somewhat, it's not spring training, right? You don't get a chance to really step in and like introduce yourself. You're just walking in and everybody's already in the middle of a, you know, 50 games into a season. So what was that like for you, and how's it going?
Yeah, you know, it was very interesting. Felt a little weird, you know, not being able to, you know, meet some of the guys and talk to some of the guys before I was actually able to get into the game. So, you know, being able to just coming in and having to be locked in, knowing that I was pitching that night, made it a little tougher on meeting some guys. But, you know, I think we've been rolling with it, and, you know, it's been fun, been meeting more guys as we go and getting to know more guys. So it's been fun, having a good time with it.
Adrian Hauser joining me on White Sox Weekly here for another moment. Adrian, you had a lot of success here on Tuesday night, but in your first time starting here at Wright Field, you also had quite a bit of success. Is there something about Wright Field that makes you feel a little bit more comfortable, or am I just getting ahead of myself after only two starts, small sample size?
No, you know, I don't know. I think it might just be small sample size right now, but, you know, like you said, I have thrown here pretty well, so, you know, hopefully I can keep that up and, you know, get comfortable here at Wright Field.
I do want to say not just congratulations though, my man, on the start, but you were also talking with the media the other day and talking about how your wife is pregnant with your second child, so that's pretty cool, and she's due here in the not too distant future, if I'm not incorrect there.
Yes, thank you very much. Yeah, she's due in about a month, so towards the end of the June we'll be welcoming our second child into the world and gonna add a lot more fun to the household.
That is awesome. That is cool. So what's the plan? I assume so she's not with you, right? They're in Chicago here right now.
No, she's too far along to travel, so she's back home in Oklahoma. Her and our son are just hanging out and waiting until baby girl gets here. And so they're just enjoying the summer with our dogs as much as they can.
All right. Very, very cool. Well, Adrian, I just wanted to say thanks so much for providing some good stuff on Tuesday night. It was a fun watch, and we can't wait to see you on the mound again, and hopefully keep on doing what you're doing, because it was very successful on Tuesday night. And I know it's always fun for White Sox fans to watch a well-pitched game. So good stuff, man.
Thank you very much, sir. Can't wait to get back out there.
Adrian Hauser, your newest White Sox, who was six shutout innings on Tuesday night. He picked up the win. It was the White Sox's first shutout of the season. It was absolutely fantastic in his debut for the Sox, and good guy. So hoping that he can continue to have a lot of success, because it was a fun watch on Tuesday night. And it's just the one nice thing about the White Sox, I know, it's a little weird because, right, the record is 16-35 on the season. But if you look at the pitching, the starting pitching, night in and night out, most nights the White Sox are at the very least competitive, if not better than that. I'm hoping the additions of Talkman and Benintendi, and as Brooke Fletcher mentioned, how Will feels like the team is as healthy as it's been all season, the lineup can start to be a little bit more consistent on a night in and night out basis, and maybe, just maybe, you could be looking at the White Sox turning the corner here in the not too distant future, and having a veteran guy like Adrian Hauser step in for the absence that Martin Perez has, you know, that has been there since Perez's injury. You know, like the White Sox 1-5 with Perez, I felt like were set up in a good spot where each and every day out they were going to be in the ballgame. And that's the one thing, when you look at a lot of times a team that's not doing well, you can look at spots in the rotation and feel like, all right, I don't know how they're going to get by and do it this day. You know, I'll point to teams like the Rockies and the Orioles, and you can look at their rotation and be like, yeah, they might win that game because it's baseball, but you don't feel great about your chances. With the White Sox, their starting rotation that they're throwing out each and every day, for the most part, you feel pretty good about where they're at. You know, now Jonathan Cannon was scratched today, so that obviously is a bit of a blow, but Bryce Wilson, somebody who is at least, you know, competent in that role, and so maybe the White Sox will have to lean on their bullpen a little bit more today if they're going to get the job done. But for the most part, you feel pretty good about where the rotation's at. So just and Adrian Hauser is only going to add to that. We're not going to get six shutout innings from him each and every time out, but for the most part, he's somebody who is a you know, at 32 years old, when he's at an opportunity, he's usually a pretty solid guy on the rotation, you know, at least specifically with the Brewers in 21 through 23. He was a pretty solid addition, somebody they could count on for innings. So nice addition to the White Sox, Adrian Hauser. When we come back, we will let you hear Chris Getz in longer form, what he had to say about the White Sox decision to send Andrew Vaughn, and plenty of other stuff as well, including Kyle Teal, specifically what the future could hold for him. Miguel Vargas, his impressive play. Chase Mydroth, lots of good stuff from Chris Getz. We'll play for you when we come back. Looking for the best way to start your game day? Treat your group to a pregame patio party. You'll get 2 hours of an all-you-can-eat buffet along with unlimited beer, wine, and Coca-Cola products. For more information, visit whitesox.com/partyareas or call 312-674-1000. Chris Getz, when we come back right here on ESPN 1000. Jeff Meller back here at Rate Field as we get set for game number 2 of 3 between the White Sox and Rangers. White Sox won game 1 last night. They'll try and take the series today and then set their eyes on a sweep on Sunday. Hey, students, it's easier than ever to get your friends together for a White Sox game. Sign up for student pass alerts and get exclusive access to lower-level ticket offers. Text STUDENT to 244-769. That's 244-769 to sign up. Or visit whitesox.com/student for more information. So Chris Getz met the media yesterday, specifically on the heels of the Andrew Vaughn and Tim Elko news, where they were optioned to AAA Charlotte to make room for the activation of Andrew Benintendi and Mike Tauchman. And that is where Chris started yesterday.
Well, we're excited to welcome back Tauchman and Benny today, this series. We brought those guys in to, well, obviously Benny's been here, but Tauchman to help stabilize, you know, this team. Obviously the left-handed bats are going to be helpful. It's probably the healthiest our team has been all year, in addition to probably the most balanced in terms of lefties and righties. Obviously with Vaughn and Elko going down, this is not necessarily an indictment on them. There's always things that need to be worked on, but an opportunity to maintain depth, balance our lineup, and perhaps get a tick more versatile defensively. When it comes to, Vaughn, obviously he's been grinding. He has. We had a discussion yesterday, and, there's a point in a lot of players' careers where, you're better off going down to AAA for a little bit, really starting to almost focus on reclaiming who you are as a player, as a hitter. We've seen him dangerous before in the box, and we want to get him back to that. In regards to sending Elko down, he had some big homers for us. We certainly expect him back, but we opted to balance out the lineup, do a little bit more things defensively, and maintain the depth for the remainder of the season. But we do expect both those guys back at some point.
What was Andrew's reaction, being that he's been part of this lineup for 5 years, right? So.
Yeah, it was a good conversation. He understood. He mentioned that he has been grinded. And, he's got survival skills, and he was showing that. And, he got two knocks, last game. And you always... There were many times this season that you felt like it was coming, that he was going to kind of break out. But he's better than just grinding. And you know, just getting a couple hits here and there. He's a guy that, you know, needs to drive the baseball, can drive the baseball. So, you know, I think he's actually looking forward to you know, taking a step back, slowing things down. Obviously, it's a different competition level, different environment, really get to work and not, you know, make adjustments at a high level like the major leagues is. So, you know, I knowing Andrew's makeup, his determination, you know, he's going to get down there and get to work. I know, you know, he's on his way down to Charlotte, and I'm sure he's going to want fight to get in the lineup as quickly as he shows up. But this really is a good opportunity for him to reclaim the player that we know he can be.
What can change with him offensively at this point, Chris? I mean, not at this point, it's not that far in his career, but I mean, his numbers have been good, but have kind of stayed the same over the course of his career. What do you see that can be different for him, when, you know, going to Charlotte?
Yeah, I think that there are some mechanical adjustments that can be made. You know, the syncing up his lower half and upper half. You know, he was a guy that, you know, early on, you know, although maybe he wasn't getting hits, he was making good decisions at the plate, seeing the ball well, taking his walks. And, you know, some of that is putting your body in a position to make quality decisions. So this game will speed you up for a lot of different reasons because of, you know, the talent of the pitching, just the overall talent of the major league level. So to go down and play against this type of competition in a different environment can really allow you to make those adjustments because you put so much pressure on yourself as a hitter to be productive, and sometimes the harder you try, you know, can be a detriment. So at this point, you know, we felt like it was necessary to go down there, but we still believe in Andrew Vaughn, and, you know, he knows he can be a productive major league player, and you know, I imagine he's going to take advantage of this.
He's not the only guy on this team that's been here a while that's struggling. What makes this move right for Andrew, but maybe not right for Luis?
You know, with Luis, you look at what he can do on the defensive side, base running. Yeah, he's not hitting at the level that he would like or we would like. But there are other parts of the game that can still help us win. So, you know, when you're a first baseman or a DH and you're so reliant on offensive production, it becomes a little bit more challenging to put together, you know, an optimal lineup. And so, you know, we chose to do this now, but most importantly, we felt like it was the best thing to do for Andrew at this time, where Louis is still, you know, he's still focused on improving his offensive game. But in the meantime, you know, we still feel pretty good what he brings to the table and other facets of the game.
Could you apply what you did with Colson here in the sense that why wait to the off season? Why let him grind? Is it almost similar, different player, different situation?
Yeah, I mean, it really is player development at its core. And you know, you don't want to be reactive. You want to be proactive as much as you can, reasonably can. And in this case, yes, it's the plan is to have Andrew Vaughn back here, and we feel like it's the best thing for Andrew to you know, continue his career at the major league level is to take a step back right now. So, yeah, there's different ways to you know, apply player development. In this case, it made sense. But, you know, there are other examples throughout the organization that we made, and Colson's a prime example of that as well.
You have a unique situation when it comes to catching Corey Lee. I know you touched on it, I think, during the Crosstown series. But update on him and just any better idea of just how to approach that position once he comes back.
Yeah, we've got a handful of catchers that are playing well. You know, beyond Corey Lee, Kyle Teal is you know, really shown some progress here recently. We knew at some point we were going to perhaps have a I don't want to say a catching problem, but a catching group that are deserving of perhaps more playing time or being at the major league level. But Corey is doing well, is productive. You know, he's ending end of his rehab. We'll make a decision on that shortly. But, you know, Edgar's been really solid up here, and Maddie's been productive as well, and Kyle continues to progress. So, you know, we're having conversations on best to handle. It's a fairly unique situation for the White Sox, and I think that's a good thing. There's so many clubs out there that are on this, you know, constant pursuit to fill that position, and we've got a handful of options, and there's different ways to you know, approaches for us that the White Sox come out on top.
How do you see the first base mix now? How does it fit into the larger what you're trying to do defensively for the roster?
Well, we've got Lenin and Vargas that can handle first base. You know, the beauty of whether it be Lenin or Vargas or Josh Rojas or Chase Mydroth is they're versatile. So, you know, we can utilize the DH with any of those players. We can use first base. We can use third base where it applies. And some guys like a Josh Rojas has played some outfield as well. So we're going to use all of those positions, all of those roles to put our best lineup out there as possible. And, you know, once again, I point back to the balance in the lineup with the lefties and righties and, you know, creating the best matchups that we can with the group that we have here.
Did this wear on Andrew mentally, you think? I mean, he's pretty stoic in the clubhouse with us, but it has to, right?
Yeah, I would imagine that he used the word grinding through this, and it can be very taxing for a player. We view this as an opportunity for him to really slow down and regain the confidence. So, sometimes it can just be a breath of fresh air to go to a different environment for a period of time. And, I do believe he's going to take advantage of it. But, yeah, it takes its toll. I mean, for Major League players to navigate seasons and careers, it's not always easy. It isn't. Because these guys are highly competitive. They want to be great. But with what comes having those high expectations of yourself is some frustrating times. And this game is very challenging. So to be able to slow your world down on occasion, it can be very productive long term.
That was Chris Getz. We'll give you a little bit more from him after we take a quick break. But let's pause 10 seconds for stations to identify themselves. Sox fans, enter the Ultimate Fan Sweepstakes for your chance to attend Chicago's hottest summer events. This month's winner will receive two tickets to Lollapalooza and Riot Fest, plus two tickets to the Flo Rida postgame concert presented by Coca-Cola on June 27th at Rate Field. To enter, visit whitesox.com/sweepstakes. Up next, we'll let you hear more from Chris Getz, including what the plan could be for Kyle Teal potentially. Could he be moved to the outfield at any point? I asked him that. We'll let you hear his answer, along with plenty else, right here on the ESPN 1000 Hard Rock Casino White Sox Network. Welcome back to White Sox Weekly. I'm Jeff Meller, live at Rate Field as we get set for game number 2 of 3 between the Sox and Rangers. First pitch coming your way at 3:10 today. Pre-game coverage begins at 2:30. But, of course, we're talking White Sox right now on White Sox Weekly, as we do every Saturday, 2 hours prior to your pregame coverage on your home of the White Sox, ESPN 1000, and the Hard Rock Casino White Sox Network. A little more from Chris Getz yesterday regarding the White Sox.
What was your impression of Tim during his shortstop here? Did you see a guy who you think can be a piece moving forward for you?
I do. I mean, he showed the power. He had some big home runs for us. He made some really nice plays at first base. You know, there are some areas of his game that I think can improve offensively. Tighten up the strike zone. There was some chase. I think this opportunity for him to get up here and get a taste of what the big leagues is about, see some of the arms that he did. We played, you know, two first place clubs with the Cubs and, Seattle, and to be able to experience that, I think it's going to be very valuable for someone like a Tim Elko, who's got, you know, he's a bright kid, hard worker, and has made a lot of adjustments in his career. So, I do think that Tim Elko has a major league career in front of him.
Speaking of your catching depth, I believe Kyle Teal has put exclusively a catcher in DH in Charlotte. Any conversations about maybe getting him some outfield run?
We haven't had many conversations about that. He's got some history playing in other positions when he was in college and younger than that. At this point, we want to continue to develop him as a catcher. And down the road, if we want to take advantage of his athleticism and versatility, you know, we're certainly not scared to apply that.
When this took heart and, you know, the expected numbers for Andrew, you know, being pretty strong throughout this, what's the kind of the point or indicators to look for like this regression? Is it going to happen unless we intervene in some way?
Yeah, I mean, if you look at some of the underlying work that he's done, I mean, there's a little bit of unluckiness in his game. You know, he would square up the ball, you know, from time to time and get hits, get big hits. You know, I think at this point, though, you know, we can't just rely on the expected numbers. I think, the level of production that we need to see out of him and that position needs to be better. And so, you know, there's some physical adjustments that can be made, and you know, we're going to dive into that.
What has Andrew just overall meant to this club since coming on up in 21?
Yeah, I mean, he's a leader in the clubhouse, you know, both, you know, with work ethic he'll be vocal at times as well. You know, he's a good teammate. You know, so I think, you know, with him taking advantage of the situation is an opportunity to continue that leadership and get down there, get to work, make some adjustments, and get back up here and finish strong.
What have you seen from Colson since he returned from that Arizona stint?
Yeah, his routine has been very consistent in his work. You know, he's much more confident in himself. He's obviously gotten more hits. He's had better at-bats. There's still, you know, that work to be done. We certainly want to cement the process with him. But, you know, he's done a nice job. You know, the goal all along was, okay, we're taking him out of, you know, the Charlotte lineup. And when he comes back, you know, that's when his 2025 season begins. And I think for him, you know, that you know, that you can kind of eliminate the burden of making up for a slow start while approaching it that way, and he's done that so far. And you know, it hasn't been, you know, every game that he's been, you know, getting multiple hits and showing production, you know, in the box. However, he's bounced back from days that he didn't get any hits, and you know, he's responding well overall with how he's approaching it from a professionalism standpoint, and. You know, so we feel very good where he's at, and we're going to continue to you know, guide him and support him, and we expect him to be up here at some point as well.
Along those same lines, can you explain what you're doing with Hagen right now? Just, you know, the kind of focus, the biomechanics focus.
Sure. So, you know, Hagen, you know, his last outing, his velocity was fluctuating a little bit. He did have some soreness in his arm, in his elbow. You know, we did MRI it, and there was nothing of concern at all. We compared it to where it was when we signed him, but he was feeling something, and it was showing his velocity. We think it's related to his mechanics. He's a guy, we love the up-tempo part of his delivery, but he's a guy on occasion that can rush out and forward, and he needs to stay back, he needs to stay over the rubber, and that'll allow him to get, you know, pound the strike zone more, less misses, and put guys away. So, you know, we're tackling that right now. We think that's going to bode well for his overall health and production moving forward.
So, like Colson, no timetable on, I mean, you have a timetable on his return, or just when it feels right?
When it feels right. You know, he hasn't thrown. You know, we just wanted to make sure the soreness was gone, in which it is gone. So now it's really diving into the biomechanics and. You know, he's going to start catch play here in a couple days. We'll continue to, you know, build him back up and make some adjustments along the way.
What did you see from Adrian Hauser, and what went into that decision to bring him to his rotation?
It was an outstanding, you know, outing, considering, you know, how it all came about as well, which, you know, he opted out with the Rangers, and he had some opportunities to go to other clubs, and he chose us. So we were excited about that. And he took advantage of his first outing. You know, it wasn't the smoothest in regards to that day, because there was a rain delay. But he you know, he took advantage. He got on the mound. He pitched well. I mean, he attacks the zone. We like the shape of his fastball, and he uses off speed. Just a you know, a nice boost to our rotation, and should help us navigate the remainder of the season. You know, certainly if he can have productive outings like he did last time.
Can you be looking for other pitchers like that, this net situation too?
Yeah, we're in a position now where, you know, whether it be the waiver wire, players that become available because of opt-outs or for whatever reason, that this is a time to bring in those types. And I think as we continue the remainder of the year off season, we're going to look up and find some players that can be helpful for us moving forward. So we're very open-minded, and that's certainly an avenue of continuing to add talent to our group.
It's to Noah Schultz's credit that there hasn't really been a stretch of him struggling with control or getting hit before, you know, some blips this year. But what have you made of like his start, or what's kind of the new challenges he's facing as you kind of use him longer outings this year?
Well, now you've got teams that have seen him more often than they had in the past. I know his last outing, you know, he faced a club twice in 1 week. He had a great outing against him, and then they were a little bit more disciplined on certain pitches with him on that second outing. That's great for him to experience that. You know, we certainly are big believers in Noah Schultz, and you look at, you know, what he's done throughout his career, and certainly this year, all signs point towards being a frontline starter in the big leagues. But it's healthy for these guys to face some adversity, you know, as they continue their development path. And in this case, you know, he has had some outings that perhaps you need to reflect back, what could I do differently? And that's really valuable for these guys as they go through the minor leagues before they get to the big leagues.
Are you excited about the future for Miguel Vargas, player of the week, and obviously the last month has been good for him? Is this kind of the player you envisioned when you guys traded for him last year?
Yes, this is the player we envisioned. You know, another example of you know, taking a step back, making some adjustments, kind of intervening in finding something that really made him more comfortable and allowed him to catch up to velocity and be more consistent at the plate. He deserves a ton of credit. You don't see a lot of players make adjustments in season, and it works that quickly. So, you know, this is what we envisioned. Truthfully, his defense has been better than we thought. We thought he could be a solid defender, but he's proven to be a really reliable defender, made some great plays over there. He's got some versatility with his ability to go over to first base, but most importantly, his offensive production now has really come alive, and he's a real threat at the plate, and you can tell other teams, have a little bit more thought, in planning going into, what each game and using the bullpen and attack plan. So we're excited for him. What a great way to reward a guy that has been working his butt off with a Player of the Week award. So, it's still early in the year. There's going to be more adjustments along the way just because that's baseball, but really proud of what he's accomplished thus far.
You mentioned Vargas' defense is better than you expected. Is there anything you've learned about Chase? I mean, you always knew the skill set was there, but especially how he's playing lately.
Man, he's been impressive on both sides of the ball. You know, he's always had on-base ability, high contact, and it's really played out well offensively for him. He's gotten some big hits. He always seems to be in the action. But defensively, he's been really solid at shortstop, handling the routine plays and some plays that are a little bit more challenging. He's a reliable defender as well. His overall game, what he's accomplished so far and, you know, early on in his career has been really impressive, and I don't see him stopping.
Do you have scouts in Korea, Japan, and Taiwan for any pitchers particularly?
We do. Yeah, we've got a pulse on what's going on in Asia. We do. We're monitoring that part of the world as well.
Yo, Chris Getz on the state of the White Sox yesterday. Of course, the big news that they optioned both Andrew Vaughn and Tim Elko to make room for Andrew Benintendi and Mike Tauchman. And it resulted in a nice win yesterday, 4-1, over the Rangers in game one of this three-game series, which continues today at 3:10, 2:30 pregame coverage for you here on your home of the White Sox, ESPN 1000. White Sox fans, head to the ballpark on Sunday, June 8th, as we celebrate your favorite fuzzy green dude's 21st birthday. That is right. Join Southpaw and his friends for a special pregame patio party celebration when you purchase a specially priced ticket. Limited availability. To purchase tickets, visit whitesox.com/promos. Southpaw turning 21. I'm Jeff Meller. This is White Sox Weekly. When we come back, we remember a legendary Chicago icon, a longtime White Sox fan, right here on the home of the White Sox, ESPN 1000 and the Hard Rock Casino White Sox Network. Welcome back to White Sox Weekly every Saturday, 2 hours prior to our pregame coverage. Starts at 2:30 today. White Sox and Rangers, game number 2 of 3. First pitch coming your way at 3:10. I wanted to take a moment to recognize the loss of a longtime icon, comic icon. George Wendt passed away earlier this week at the age of 77. And George Wendt was a lifelong White Sox fan. He actually was in the television booth back on June 17th, 1989, when the White Sox were playing the Yankees, and here's a little bit of that conversation.
Well, we promised you that George Wendt would be coming by from Cheers, of course, and welcome to the ballpark.
Thanks.
How you doing?
I'm all right.
Yeah, except for the broken leg you got
yeah,
there.
I'm all right from the waist up. I'm okay. Oh, wait, is this a request?
This is the form.
This is the form. Notice the cast I'm in.
Are you endorsing the same company as George, Bo Jackson? Look.
That was sending a message to the Yankee dugout that little chin music was in store.
I like it.
It was hard. The last one I tried to, I did a Yankee game last year, actually, and I tried to get into the press box. I was aiming for you, actually.
Oh. You should have hit me.
Look at George to tell us what he's doing here in Chicago, other than just watching the game.
Well, I am here to do the perhaps the biggest stretch of my career as an actor. I have to play a Cub fan night after night, 8 shows a week, at the Organic Theater Company in a production of Bleacher Bums.
It's got to kill you, doesn't it?
It is. It's. But the things I do for my craft. You
know? Big but, White Sox fan.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's gotten rave reviews, the play has. Though.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a... It's a really cute, funny play, and it's not so much about the Cubs as about loyalty and optimism. And in that respect, I think Sox fans are more Cub fan than Cub fans, if you know what I mean. Huh?
Oh, like it. Really well put right there.
Yeah.
Right?
No, it's true.
Yeah.
I think Southsiders ought to come out and see this show and not be psyched out by the fact that it's 2 blocks from Wrigley Field and it concerns the Cubs. I'm a Southsider. I'm playing, you know, one of the central roles of the play. It's kosher. It's cool. Come on down.
How long are you?
Who knows? You know, it's a ball game. The Cubs just might lose.
Ooh, is that possible?
You never know. It's
You're
a ball
in the
game.
Play. It's guaranteed.
It's a ball game.
Cheers. Still as much fun as when you started.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's you know, I mean, it's great writers, great cast. We sit around and laugh all day. I mean, it's one of the great jobs of all time.
It was indeed, and it came through on the screen. You know, for some people who are a little bit younger, they may not be all that familiar with George Wendt, specifically his days as Norm Peterson on Cheers, one of those iconic television characters that if you grew up watching Cheers, you know exactly why. He was indelible to that show that was one of the best television comedies of all time. The kind of the linchpin of must-see TV on NBC over, you know, Thursday night, the classic must-see TV that grew into great fame with The Cosby Show, with Friends. It was critical to the success of NBC. And George Wendt then, of course, went on to great fame with the Superfan skit, which, of course, Da Bulls and Da Bears got a lot of traction out of, but he was a diehard White Sox fan through and through and just a comedic genius and is just somebody who I think, you know, if you're of a certain age, the Superfan skit resonates deeply. And, you know, it's just, you know, he was great as Norm on Cheers constantly. You know, for those who are unfamiliar, if you didn't grow up watching it, you may be somewhat aware of the fact when George Wendt would walk into the bar, everybody at the bar would scream, "Norm!" And that was just the classic. And he'd always have a quick one-liner for Sam Malone back in the day, Ted Danson as Sam Malone. Quick one-liner when he would ask him how he was doing. And just it really was a fantastic television series. George Wendt, quintessential Southsider, loved the White Sox. And sad to have – it's just a sadder place not to have him in the world, but – he left a lot of great, meaningful stuff for people to check out. So if you're unfamiliar with his work, go check it out. It's well worth your time. That's going to do it for us here on White Sox Weekly. Thanks to Justin Pottinger and Charlie Bevins back at the shop. executive producer Brendan Riley. Thanks to Brooke Fletcher and Adrian Hauser as well for joining us. Up next, it is the White Sox pregame show, as we'll get you set for White Sox and Rangers on the ESPN 1000 Hard Rock Casino White Sox Network.